Hello, hi. After 7.5 episodes later, I'm here to say hello. I'm finally greeting. I feel a little bit more comfortable greeting. I think being behind the mic is starting to become second nature to me once again. So enough about that. Hi, I hope that you are doing okay during such tricky times with a lot of uncertainty in the world. I hope that today's episode can just be a little bit of a good note to your day, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're up to. I'm so glad that you're able to tune into my show and just listen to me talk about today's topic, which happens to be boy bands and the phenomenon that I've just been seeing. Well, not really the phenomenon. I want to say more the trend that is occurring the past couple of decades when it comes to the boy band and just where we are now. I think more so in correlation to like the tween teen ages of about 10, 11 up until, I want to say up until 17, 18, 19, we'll disinclude because this certain portion I really wanted to focus on a lot more because they are the driving forces behind the boy band. And so before I say any more, I do want to preference this by saying that these are all my opinions and just how I've perceived things. Of course, there will be facts that I'll be pushing out there, but I generally wanted to just speak about a topic that I thoroughly enjoy. I really enjoy boy bands. I still have boy bands that I listen to this day, not as frequently as before, but I still listen to them, you know, here and there when I'm in the mood to listen to my favorite boy band. So sit back, relax, grab some tea, grab a cookie, whatever that you may be doing. I don't know if you're eating or you're chilling or whatever, but just sit back, relax, and I want us to just have a conversation about boy bands and just how they've progressed throughout the years to where they ultimately are now and possibly what could be the future of the boy band. I wanted to start off with the definition that I found online from the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary about the boy band, in which they say it is a small ensemble of males in their teens or 20s who play pop music geared especially to a young female audience, which is very prevalent in what we see in every single boy band over the decades. I think more so now the numbers are getting a lot higher, but the average generally lies between 3 to 4 boys within a group. So where do boy bands actually come from? I want to say they came from the 60s, because that's where all my research has taken me, to the 60s, especially the Beatles. Everyone who knows the Beatles knows them by name, but maybe not by a lot of songs. I know I never really grew up listening to the Beatles like that, because my household just doesn't play the Beatles like that. So I just know them by name and maybe one or two members. Other than that, I don't actually know a lot about the Beatles. But it's very interesting to find out that a lot of sources dub them as the first quote-unquote boy band, especially with what was going on at the time. So in the 60s, you know, there was a lot going on in the 60s. It was a wild time, especially there by America that likes to call themselves the default of anything that is remotely quote-unquote cool or trendy or etc. So when they, well, when America was doing what America does best a lot, they were shifting their eyes a whole bunch of different places. And what they landed on was the British invasion, as it would be dubbed, where they were paying a lot more attention to what was going on in the UK, especially in the music scene where rock was really starting to pick up momentum. You know, we see the influence of rock in the 70s and the 80s. So I think there was a little something there that led into that influence in later decades. But at the time, a lot of people were paying attention to what was going on in the UK. And lo and behold, at that same time, the Beatles launched. And they were a young boy group that just wanted to make music as friends or associates. And baby girls everywhere just went wild. Girls between the ages of about 10, 11, all the way to like 17, 18, maybe even 19,
were absolutely gushing over these boys. And before then, there wasn't like a time in place where, well, a time in history where people were like, you know what, this is my favorite boy band, or this is my favorite teen sensation. There wasn't a lot of that. So when they came about, the US is also like, right, we see what's going on here and we want to emulate that. And as the decades progressed, you definitely saw a lot more US boy bands really coming out and about the scenes. In the 60s, it really launched way of like the Jackson 5s. The Osmonds came through a little bit later, which were more like the family orientated. They're all brothers or they're all cousins, and they're out here creating musical groups that appeal to the younger female demographic, as that is their niche, and they knew if they could easily pinpoint and capture that attention, they know that they're basically set. But with boy bands, what you see is that they grow old. Boy band, like, everyone ages. Unfortunately, that is one thing that happens, that everyone ages. So what you find is that a boy band that was very popular in the 60s, they age along with their audience, and they will no longer be as popular in the 70s because a new boy band would come in. And that is what you could see. In the 70s, there were new boy bands that were kind of coming in. I want to say the 80s are more so where I start picking up on, okay, so these are the people that were starting to be popular. They were like New Kids on the Block and New Edition. And then in the 90s, as it came through, it was more like, you know, Take That. It was the Backstreet Boys. It was NSYNC. It was Boyz II Men in the 80s/90s. There was a lot more male groups that started coming in, and they gained popularity as the decades went by, because now they were more than just pop. They were going into different sort of avenues, and each girl, no matter what type of music they were feeling, they could resonate with a specific group. But with that being said, certain groups weren't necessarily catered to the young audience. They also catered to girls in their 20s. All the way to their 30s, because, you know, maybe they also needed someone to have serenade to them and be a sort of fantasy. And that's just how they've kind of progressed. Like, the blueprint is still the same. They're just a group of like 3 to 4, maybe 5 guys that can all sing really well, either individually and together, like harmonizing. They generally have very synchronized dance moves. This is more for the pop. We're talking about pop, not anything. We're talking about pop. Synchronized dance moves. They always dress really well, and they are structured, especially from the label's point of view, as the ideal boyfriend. No matter what boyfriend you are looking for, you will find your ideal type in a group, and they made sure to do that. And I think that's one thing that they were really able to capitalize on. In terms of the boy bands in every single decade, if the masterminds or the big heads in like music companies really knew what they wanted, they knew how to study the market and knew how to really pinpoint and tug on the heartstrings of young girls, because they knew if they can target young girls and they can get young girls to really get into it, then they know they've got something on their hands. So I actually have a top 10 of songs that I absolutely enjoy from a whole array of boy bands that I listen to throughout my entire lifestyle. And I just want to get into each song a little bit in not too much detail, but enough for you to really understand why I enjoy the song. So what I'm going to do is break it down into two. So I will say 5 songs, give you a little bit of a breakdown, and then I'll do another 5 songs after a few more segments, just so that you are aware of why I love these songs, because there's no way I'm just going to recommend songs and not tell you why I'm recommending these songs. So starting off the 5, and also just to preference this is no particular order. I just love the songs for no matter which vibe I'm feeling for. They all serve a different purpose to me. So starting us off is Backstreet Boys' Larger Than Life. That is the first song I'll be talking about. Absolutely love Backstreet Boys. They just epitomize a lot of my, you know, early childhood. And so Larger Than Life is just one of those songs that really stuck out to me. I think it was the first song I ever heard from them. Obviously, the cult classics kind of come in, but that song really sticks out to me the most. if I really want to be in the mood to get up and dance, I definitely blast that song. The second song I wanted to mention is Blue or Rise. I feel like it's a male anthem more than a female anthem, but the message behind it, I really resonate with it, where it's kind of like somebody's done did you dirty, and it's almost like you're putting them in the court of law. It's like, listen, everyone is here to see all your shenanigans, and what you're not going to do is take advantage of me. And I absolutely enjoy the how they were able to paint that narrative and how they were able to paint that picture. They were really talented male group that I wish was able to continue more into like the mainstream. They were quite popular, but not as popular as some of their counterparts. But also seeing at what points they were popular, it does make sense, because they were popular at the same time as the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. But they were the UK equivalent, really. So The Wanted comes in number three with Let's Get Ugly. It's a very sensual song, really is sexy. You do, you know, kind of want to tango. You want to do a lot of things with the song. It's one of those songs where if you're dancing with the partner, it's kind of like, okay, you want to give us a little tango, you want to give us a little western, you're giving us a little everything. But it's a tease. The song itself is an actual tease. And the boys really did something with the song. I don't know what it is. I think they sprinkled something in it. I don't know. But I absolutely enjoy the song. If I feel like, you know, moving my hips, pulling a little Shakira out here, but really, it's not really for belly dancing, but I'm a finesse because the instruments really allow it. And they are another UK boy group that was popular in the 2010s, but they didn't really hit the mainstream because One Direction was also very popular at the time. So you can imagine two big male groups from the same place. One is going to take the hearts of the people in the US and the UK by a long shot. And I mean, One Direction had the backing of being on the X Factor, whereas, you know, The Wanted did not necessarily have the same thing. So you can imagine that popularity-wise, they weren't the most popular, but they were definitely known to a number of people. Number four, I'm coming in with NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye. Talking about another classic, it is NSYNC. They were big rivals, quote-unquote big rivals, with the Backstreet Boys. They were popular at the same time. Bye Bye Bye, to me, is a great song for closing off a chapter. And no matter what you're going through in life, where you're like, I'm tired, or you know what, I'm done with whatever's going on here, I'm ready to just say my goodbyes and move on. It's also hearing about how the boys kind of came up with the song. It makes a lot of sense. But also for me, when I heard the song, I think the first thing I thought of is like, well, I was young at the time. I was very young when I heard the song. I just enjoyed bye, bye, bye. But when I was older and I actually started understanding the lyrics behind it, it perfectly encapsulates, you know, the ending of a chapter and start marking the beginning of a new chapter. And then the last song I wanted to talk about, this is the song where I'm like, cut the cameras, cut the mic, cut everything, stop listening to me right now and go and listen to this song. And that is Shy, If I Ever Fall in Love. It is such a beautiful, 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 beautiful song. I always hear it on Sundays on the radio when I'm with my dad, or I will always like see the music video pop up on, you know, YouTube, especially during my, you know, rabbit hole phases where I decide to listen to music from yesteryears. It is an absolutely beautiful song, absolutely beautiful. If you're in the mood just to, you know, wind down a little bit and listen to a very smooth song with very beautiful harmonies, this song I absolutely recommend wholeheartedly. Just search it up, Shy, If I Ever Fall in Love. Sit back, relax, just listen to it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Because the song, I back it completely. So I wanted to just jump in here and talk about general themes of the boy band. So I wanted to split up the top 10, because if I was to continue talking about my top 10, it would probably turn into a top 20. So I wanted to split up into 5-5, and in between the 5-5, I wanted to talk about the general themes that are covered in a lot of these BBs or boy bands songs. Not all of these themes are going to apply to the songs in my top 10, but they are general themes that you probably would have heard or probably never paid attention to until maybe you listen to a song and like, oh, okay, so that, okay, this makes sense. It's kind of like a formula. for boy bands and girl bands, there's a bit of a formula situation that goes on in the background that no one really notices, but they have similar songs. Even if they're titled similarly, they may sound similarly, but there is similarities in the songs because these are the types of songs that they know are going to captivate their audience, or these are the types of themes they know are going to captivate their audience. One of the themes are declaration of love, or yeah, basically just declaration of love. Whether they are declaring it to the listener or to whoever they wrote the song to, any love song, especially by a group of male singers that are in their teens / 20s, it's a hit. It is a hit, especially if it's one of two songs just to say that I love you, you are the best thing in the world. Ooh, it is a tick, but also ones that feed into insecurities. One thing about teen girls, they are insecure. And me as a teen girl, I was very insecure. We're kind of looking for male validation. As much as it pains me to kind of say that, that's kind of what society was. We were seeking male validation. And a lot of the guys our age just, they didn't care. I mean, they cared, but they didn't care like that. They were just like, oh, okay, a girl, move on. And they did their own thing. So when you found a boy band that's kind of singing and their songs are hitting different, then you find yourself really going and be like, okay, so I really like this boy band. They're singing to my soul. They're like the ideal boyfriends. You parasocial relationships kind of form from there, but we'll jump into that a little bit later. I just wanted to bring it back to the theme. So then they speak about love, especially saying, oh, there's this girl that I love, but I don't know how I'm going to get her, or there's this girl that I love, but she doesn't know that I love her, or I don't want to lose her. Those types of songs, we've heard a song like that or two, either from a solo artist, but mostly the boy bands, we've heard songs like that where you just like, you know, I'm your girl, I'm your dream girl. They'll always sing about a dream girl, and they sing it in a way that makes you feel like you are that dream girl. And that's why in concerts, you'll be fighting other girls to get the attention of your favorite member. Another one is You and Me Against the World ideology. So especially when you feel like no one really understands you, there's always that one member in the group that understands you because his personality is so similar to your personality. And when they sing, you're just like, yeah, it's just you and me, babe. You and me against the world. There have been a couple songs that actually have a similar name to that. But you see the direction they're trying to go at. It's just they're like, no matter who's against you, no matter how you're feeling in the world, no matter how alone you are, just know that there is somebody that understands you and that is with you every step of the way. They do those songs on purpose. Maybe because they feel that that song is very important for the listener, but also feeds into the parasocial aspect of it where it's kind of like, I know I love this band because they've been through with me, etc. Now I'm actually jumping to my own. I'm trying to low-key dragging myself here. Let me just bring, you see, I feel like I have to just bring myself back because I know it's going to go into something, and I do have a separate segment where I'm actually going to jump into this. So just to almost wrap this up, there's two more from friends to lovers. We've seen many of those examples where it's girl next door, boy next door, and I'm gonna ask you out on a date, or it links up to the declaration of love aspect. And then the last one would be one that isn't done as often as the other ones, but is also being done. I think in today's point, in today's music, I see a lot of solo artists more than the boy bands doing it, but that doesn't mean that boy bands aren't dabbling into a little bit, and that is to be weak, or quote unquote more so submissive, but not really submissive in that point, but almost whatever you do, it makes me weak at the knees. So it's almost like you're the dominant character in the boy band's eyes. And a lot of boy bands are seemingly dabbling into that where it's kind of like, yo, you make me weak, you make my heart da 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 da. And so yes, it like I said, a lot of these themes feed into the centralized theme of maybe, you know, declaration or falling in love with somebody. But some people do like to separate them and really focus and shift their attention to one of. There are many other themes, but the ones that I've heard is mostly this. And then special honorable mention would be maybe a heartbreak song. There are some heartbreak songs because boys go through heartbreak too. And so the heartbreak songs really make sense, especially for girls, when they get their heart broken, especially your first heartbreak as a teenager, you would think your life is ending. And you hear the song, and you're like, this person understands exactly how I am feeling. Exactly how I'm feeling. They're tugging at the heartstrings. That is what they're doing. And that is just that direction they're willing to go with the music. And I think that is why they appeal to the female demographic so well, because they know how to market their music to the point where, you know, it can express any emotion that a teenage girl is feeling, and they can hone on it and capitalize on it.
And this is where I come to close off part one. Yes, you heard it right here. This is a two-parter. This topic actually was a lot more than I expected it to be when I was actually looking into it and trying to create my content. So I thought I would split it into two. So this is just part one. Part two will come out a little bit later. And yeah, just sit back, relax. You don't have to wait too long. Don't worry. Part two is already in the works. So you just keep an eye out for it. If you're listening to this at a later stage, then part two will follow right after. So this is not goodbye, but rather see you later from your girl. This is none other than The Vault.